Hello, and welcome to A Tale of Two Game Devs, a podcast about two friends who aren't video game industry veterans.
But want to be.
Now, that voice you just heard was that of the MacBook man, Milo.
And that other lovely voice is my companion and voice on the other end, my dear friend, Michaela.
Did you think of adjectives before you said that?
Nope.
That's understandable. That's so funny.
I actually had a pair selected right before we started, and then I forgot them. I was like, oh, this is a friend, and that a friend is also a companion.
I mean, if it works, it works. You know, if that works.
Shh, don't tell.
Wow, we're back to a great start already, folks. Sorry, yep. It's been a couple weeks.
But here we are.
Life has been tumultuous. Digital flesh.
Yes.
Yeah. In the digital flesh. We should do this. We should have a podcast in VR chat so that we can actually be in the digital flesh.
Yeah, there you go. And then we can somehow link that up with streaming. I'm sure it'll work great.
Ooh, like we could just have like a lobby.
Yeah.
And then we could record ourselves talking, but like anybody can come up into the lobby and be like, hey there. And then like maybe all two of our fans will come.
Yeah, wow, that would be amazing. We'd have a party.
A whole party of four. It'd be like a sea of people, a sea of two people for us.
What a massive sea.
Well,
seeing as it's
what
been
I would
forever,
like to see is what you've been up to.
Yeah. All right. So last time we did a podcast, I think I was just leaving school. I believe I was still in Redmond the last time.
And yeah, I think you were close to being done.
Yeah, so now I'm done. It's break time. And my gosh, we get like 4 months of summer. It's ridiculous. But the first thing I did coming out of that was go to Canada because my stepfather lives in Canada and my mother was driving up towards Canada for the weekend and just so happened that I'm on the way to Canada. So we went to Canada.
Wow.
Dude, it's really funny because when you cross the border, they ask you a series of questions. And one of those is, do you have anything to declare? And of course, we're going up to Canada and in the back of my mom's car is my computer monitor, my TV, it's just like thing after thing after thing after thing.
Like, it's like your dorm
do you have anything
room
to declare? right. You have anything to declare? I've got this ham sandwich. And that's all they asked. We have some special pass thing that lets us off with fewer questions, so that helps. But yeah, that was just really funny coming in with, right, as you put it, half my dorm room.
Right. What sorts of stuff are you supposed to declare when you cross the border?
So it's anything that you're bringing over the border and leaving over the border. So if I bought a chocolate bar and in the United States and brought it over the Canadian border and intended to give it as a gift, then I would declare that.
Okay.
Right. But if I'm bringing like my own TV for the weekend, then I don't have to declare that because it's mine and it's coming back with me.
Okay.
But, you know, when you've got three suitcases and a bunch of monitors and stuff in the back, it kind of looks maybe a little bit like you're moving there.
Right.
Because I am moving, just not there.
Do you have anything to declare, Milo?
Yeah. No.
Son, I thought you wanted to go to Canada.
Yeah, right. But we went to Canada and I got to hang out. I watched a bunch of anime. I got to make some food with my mom and rest, lots of rest. The resting is really
absolutely
nice. I don't have to do computer work. I haven't touched design work. And so it's just been letting my arms rest and icing them. Letting them rest and icing them, letting them rest and ice. You get the point.
Right.
And then we came back from Canada back to the United States of America.
Ooh, wow. I can just feel the eagles screeching in my bones.
Isn't that amazing? You might want to get that checked out, though. I feel like eagles are not the things you want in your bones.
Don't worry. It's definitely not osteoporosis. I'm fine.
Okay. All right. Great. I won't worry until you're cool. Like disintegrating.
Yeah. I mean, Mr. Ken Petit, I don't feel so good.
Yeah. Did you see the new Avengers?
Endgame? Oh yeah. My God, yes, I did. You seen it yet?
I have, but I don't want to talk about it on here because in case anyone's listening to this and hasn't seen it, I don't want to be that part of the internet that spoils it.
Oh yeah. I mean, like, we're not going to spoil it on here, but I just want to say, like, that movie was everything I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap. I loved that movie.
I can't believe
new favorite MCU movie. You can't believe what?
I can't believe that they managed to wrap up 10 years of movies. It's hard enough to do a good ending, but imagine doing an ending for 10 years worth of movies. It's just incredible. Right.
I remember with Infinity War, when that came out, there was a lot of talk around like, well, this movie isn't great, but it's about the best that you could get with this many heroes. And Endgame just blew Infinity War out of the water, quality-wise, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I would chat more about this, but I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, no spoilers. just high praise. Very generic, non-specific praise.
Yes. Yeah. If you like the Marvel Universe, you don't need me to tell you to go see it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard on track to probably dethrone Avatar as the highest grossing movie ever.
Wow.
That's what I've heard. That's impressive. And that means Disney's going to own like 4 of the top 5, which is kind of scary.
What are the other ones?
Well, there's Endgame. There's Star Wars Force Awakens. Maybe it's only 3 of the top 5. I think there's another Marvel movie in there. I don't know which one, though. It might be Infinity War.
Uh-huh.
But
dang.
And I know Avatar's in there. I think Titanic might be the other one. And so Disney only has 3 of the top 5, I guess. But still, it's a lot. Well,
come on. I mean, we know that in the near future, Disney will own every entertainment franchise on the entire planet. So Titanic and Avatar, they might as well have all 5. They'll have it
next. That's true. Do you know there's like, I don't know if it's already built, but they're at least building, if not have built, like an Avatar park inside of Disney World?
What? See? Yeah. They're totally going to own it.
I mean, it's not that they own it yet. I guess they're just licensing it for the park. It's inside Animal Kingdom, which is interesting because most of Animal Kingdom is based on, you know, real animals. But and then there's just like space aliens in the middle.
Are you saying that the space aliens from Avatar aren't real?
Oh, you sweet summer child. I don't want to ruin it, you know, like Santa Claus or anything.
Yeah, but I keep putting my hair in a ponytail so that I can try and connect all beautifully with that tree.
Oh boy. that just reminds me of like the hair sex scenes.
Yeah, oh geez. Yeah, yeah.
that was a lot. I can't believe that happened.
See, Avatar is a movie we can spoil.
That's fair. I mean, it's been out like over a decade.
Yeah.
I feel comfortable spoiling it.
yeah. back to my week.
Yeah.
We're back in the United States and so I'm not getting a job this summer just because most jobs require hands for my age.
Yeah.
So that's a no-go. And I'm actually very happy about this because I've worked like 3 years of customer service jobs. It's like, I don't want to do more of that.
I understand that.
Right. And I'm hoping that next semester I can go get an internship. And I'm building out my portfolio this summer, like physically building it. I've got the games. I just need to put it together so that I can actually start applying for those, which would be nice. But that also means that I can't do a lot around the house, and I feel bad because I really want to be able to help my mother, who is a very busy woman. And so what I proposed was that I take over the managerial duties of the house. So things like making sure the trash and stuff gets taken out on time, managing my brother's schedule and running family meetings to make sure, like when we've got guests coming in, that all of the necessary steps are getting completed and on time. And for instance, we also had like a bunch of stuff lying around the house in weird places because I just moved in, but I can't move it. So it's up to me to to schedule time with people who can move it to help me move it. So I get to manage the house, and that's really fun because I don't need my hands for that. I just need other people to listen to me.
It sounds like you're the house's producer then.
Yes, exactly. It's perfect because I get to learn something relevant to my job, my future job, and be useful to my mother, which I appreciate being able to do.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that you get to be sort of the people person of the house.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I'm enjoying it a lot.
It does sound like fun. With your hands, like, how are they doing? I know before the podcast you mentioned that they're better. Like, how's the timeline looking?
Yeah, so now that there's a couple of key things that happened a few weeks back, I think I mentioned on the podcast where I limited my computer work, I started seeing a chiropractor. And those two things really, really, really helped with the healing process. And then I've had various minor setbacks from little things along the way. But at this point, I've learned so much about what my body can and can't do. And I've got a new physical therapist who I like a lot more than my previous physical therapists. I find their method a little – it works better for me. I feel improvement. I see – like just even in the few days working with her, it works better for me. So timeline wise, she estimates 6 to 10 weeks, and at this
until
point,
you have like a full recovery.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really funny. I've got exercises because it's physical therapy, and for my thumb, my exercise is to I use the fingers on my other hand to pick up my thumb and essentially get it into a thumbs up position on my right hand. And then I hold that position for 5 seconds. And then I lower it back down to like a fist over the next 5 seconds. And I do that 10 times once a day, because that's all my thumb can take right now.
Wow. So you just can't do like hardly anything with your hands.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'll, like opening containers is a mess. I'll often just pass it to other people. I had a friend over the other day and he helped us cook dinner because it's like, I can tell people what to do, but I can't do it.
Is there any amount of computer work that's an acceptable amount of computer work right now, or is it just all around bad?
Yeah. So I can use the computer. It's just, I fatigue quicker and what have you. So I got to listen to that. And I actually asked my physical therapist, is like, what is a good amount of games to play when I'm better? And she's like, look, for all I'm concerned right now, you can play games now. What's more important to you than giving you an hour count is how does your body feel? Listen to that. And I was like, this is the best advice I have ever been given. Thank you.
That's funny.
Yeah, I really like that answer. And I think it's just, quite frankly, the best answer, because it's like no amount of... nothing will tell you better than your own body what you can and can't do.
Right.
So yeah, I just feel it out. I am limiting myself to 4 hours of computer usage, and that's not even I don't ever hit that, but it's like, even if I could hit that, I don't want to go beyond that right now, just while I'm recovering, so as not to push my body beyond anything. But like today I used the computer for an hour, maybe 30 minutes to an hour. And it's like, I can feel it. It's like, I'm done. That's it. All done for the day.
That's fair.
Yeah. But it's really nice because I like, even over 2 days, my thumb has gotten stronger. I can move it to make a thumbs up in the way that they're trying to teach me how to do, which I couldn't do before. So it's good. I'm seeing measured progress, and my environment is very supportive, and I'm making sure to not push myself. It's really good. I'm very happy.
Awesome. Well, I mean, I'm glad that you seem to be on the road to recovery, and like you think so, and it's working for you. So cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm really happy to have had this hit this, so early in my career at doing computer work, right? Because now in the future I'll have like best practices. I'll know what to do, and I'll know proper positioning and ergonomics and taking breaks and stretches. And I've failed hard enough once that it's never going to happen again.
Yeah. So you said 6 to 10 weeks from now, right?
Yes.
Okay. So 6 weeks from now is June 16th. 10 weeks from now is July 14th. So starting somewhere in that range of time, we will be able to do a Fallout stream, theoretically.
Yes. 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 Assuming that the recovery goes as planned, then yes, okay. Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if it will go as planned. I feel like it's been going very not as planned for the last 5 months.
Yep. Repetitive strain injuries are rough.
Yeah, evidently.
Don't get one, folks. Don't get one.
Shoot, like you've got me more worried. You've had me way more worried about like how I use a computer and stuff. Cause like I haven't like gotten to the point where I feel like my hands are an issue, but I'm like, what if I do it anyway? You know?
Yeah. 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 Take care of yourself, Michaela. Take care of yourself while you still
need
can.
To worry. Right. As a computer science major, I feel like I need to worry.
But... Right. And I'm like pseudo computer science. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Boy. However, but yeah. I think I'm safe as long as I don't start playing Overwatch.
Yes, that's the key lesson. Yeah. And actually, just like working with my chiropractor and people, it was so much more than Overwatch. Like Overwatch was the inciting thing, but there was so much beyond Overwatch that just made this sort of inevitable.
Yeah, that's fair. I can see if your hands were constantly like high stress and the added Overwatch over winter break just switched it up from high stress to like wild stress.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's just take a minute to recount exactly what happened. So I had a weightlifting injury that caused my spine to not move in a good way, which then locked down my left arm. So my left arm wasn't moving in a good way, which then locked down my right arm, which made my right arm not move in a right way, which means that my left and right hands were not moving effectively, which means that they're hurting themselves as I move them. So that's one. Then two is, you know, I do a bunch of design work until the crazy hours in the morning because I really like the design work I'm doing. So that's continued pressure. Then winter break happens and I play nonstop Overwatch for 3 weeks while recovering from the flu, while only getting 6 hours of sleep per night. So my body can't recover and it's sick. And I'm playing way too much Overwatch, and I didn't give myself a break after the semester, and that's when the carpal tunnel kicked in. Then I go back to school, and I keep doing computer work because design work, and that's what I love, and pushing my body, and I haven't learned proper ergonomics or anything like that, and I haven't taken care of my spinal stuff yet, so my body keeps moving in bad ways, and then my wrist brace digs into my radial nerve, right, and kicks that up. And then I keep trying to do computer work and then it makes it worse. And that, right. So it's just like piece by piece, I'm unwinding these things and learning about how they all impacted each other and learning how not to do it again. But it's like, if I look at that and I'm like, yeah, there's no way my body could have taken that.
It was just a lot altogether.
Yeah, absolutely. But road to recovery, we'll see what happens from here on out.
Yeah, you gotta have this country road to recovery take you home.
That's right. Take me all the way back to 76.
Eventually. 6 to 10 weeks theoretically.
That's right, theoretically. Anyways, that's been my 2 weeks. What about you? I haven't heard from you in ages.
Yeah, I guess it's really been 3 weeks, hasn't it? Because we skipped 2 weeks, and in between those two skips up to now is 3 weeks' time.
Oh, dang. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So most of a month, but my 3 weeks. So Milo's already done with his semester. I am getting close to the end of mine right now. So for me, that's mostly a lot of final projects. I have one class in which there's like a final test, but that's in about 9 days, which means I'm not going to start studying for it until maybe like 8 days from now. But I hate studying. Have I mentioned that on this podcast before? I don't know if I've said it on this podcast, but like my absolute number one least favorite way to learn something is by studying. Like, I don't know. It's just like the idea of like – staring at knowledge and getting it to stick in my brain by just staring at it is, I hate it. It's so boring. It's so repetitive. I just thoroughly dislike it. That's one of the reasons why I really like sort of like just building software and making games and stuff is like, even like if the goal is to learn something, you do it by like making a thing, and the act of building something is really, really fun for me, versus the act of like learning something in isolation is usually not super fun to me.
Yeah. I'm the same way, right? As like, I can learn all the theory I want, but the only way I actually get it is when I can have a place to play with that theory and make a bunch of mistakes and like test the limits of that theory by toying around and tinkering. So I'm right there with you.
Which is why I feel like I've struggled in the past in the kinds of classes where like it's all about learning without any sorts of spaces to tinker or make mistakes. Like, I think the worst class I feel like I've ever had to deal with was like in anatomy class, where all of it is just about like memorizing like body parts and bone parts and like parts of like skin and cells and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
And like, yeah. And they don't provide an environment for you to like play with it. Like, all you've got is tests. And if you don't do super hot on the tests, like, it negatively impacts your performance in the class. Like, there is no room to fail. So yeah.
You just need a lot of flashcards.
Right. And I did. And I crammed as many flashcards as I could into my brain. I tried to learn all those good like med school type study habits. And I still couldn't get a very good grade in that class. It just doesn't work with my brain very well.
And that, Michaela, is why you are not a doctor.
Absolutely. I could not be a doctor. I'd be bad at it. I mean, well, I'd be bad at med school. I don't know if I'd be that bad at the doctor part. I'm not convinced that a lot of like the sort of memorization is super related to actually being a doctor, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Anywho, yeah. So I, as I said, am getting into final season. So my last day of instruction for classes is tomorrow. And then after that, I will just have some study days, and then we'll be in the middle of finals. And I have a final presentation I'm going to be giving for my animation and planning and games class for Monday next week, like 8 days from now. And then there's the test in my internet programming class that's on Tuesday the next week, which is 9 days from now. And so that's all I've got actually happening during finals week. Tomorrow on the last day of classes in my technology design and society class, we have to present a mini design project as a group of 5 people. So that's kind of a final project, but like it's also not happening during finals week, so it's a little weird. But and it's not a super big project, and it's split across 5 people, so I'm not really worried about that.
Yeah.
I already got my part done, and usually my group is good at getting everything done at the last minute, and then we've gotten perfect grades on everything so far. So I'm not worried about this class.
That's excellent.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can study for that class one day before.
Exactly. But we haven't had any tests, so you don't need to study, which is just perfect. The way I like it.
Yes.
I would way rather have projects than tests, personally.
Right. Yeah. You'd love DigiPen. It's like this time we only had one test, and it was for psychology. And then the other 4 classes were all projects.
That makes sense. That sounds like the kind of curriculum I would do if I were in charge, that is.
But yeah.
Yeah. I can save the animation and planning project for Dev Thoughts because it's interesting and I want to talk about it, but it is thoroughly related to game development, which is part of why it's interesting. But
yes.
Yeah. Like, so then what else has been up? Like I said, I haven't had a podcast in a while. In case you're wondering, listeners, that's kind of really been on me. I just haven't been super up to recording lately due to having to deal with like a lot of stress in like my personal life and family life. And I don't really want to get into it in the podcast, but just figured I'd give y'all a reason for why we had been absent for a while. But hey, things are doing better now. And that's why we're back on recording. Oh, what else have I been up to? I told Milo I went clothes shopping today with a friend. That was really nice. Yay. Because, you know, as y'all listeners know, I'm trans. Mm. I haven't like come out to everybody yet. That's going to be at the end of the semester. That'll be fun. But, and like, I'm still not out at school. And the thing is, like, when you first come out as trans, it's not like somebody just like hands you a wardrobe and they're like, all right, you're ready to dress like a girl now. So I was out shopping for summery clothes because like all the clothes I'd bought before were more like cold weather clothes, like pants and long sleeves and stuff. But so I was excited about that. I had a fun time. I really enjoyed it. But yeah, so that's that. That's I also mentioned... What was that?
That's marvelous, and it must feel really nice to get the external representation of something you feel to be true for who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's a lot of fun to like go try on the kinds of clothes that like you feel like you should be wearing, and you felt like you should be wearing for a while, and you wanted to wear for a while before that, but you just never could. And it's like, heck yeah, now I've got it. But
yeah.
But yeah, I really like that.
Good.
What else is I going to say? Oh yeah, I mentioned briefly that I'm not out to everybody yet, but I will be soon. I figure I'll talk about this since I think it's interesting and relevant to my life. But basically my plan going into this school year was like at the very beginning of the school year, I was pretty confident I was trans. And then I would figure that out as I went along. And like, you know, around the middle of the fall semester, I got on to like some like hormone medication to kind of, you know, switch out the testosterone in my body for estrogen, which I'm very grateful for. And I kind of made a plan that I would start like figuring things out mostly in private during like the spring semester, as far as like a wardrobe went, as far as like the like kind of makeup I wanted to use went, as far as my voice went, all that sorts of stuff. Again, all of these things are things that are like not necessary to like display your gender to the world, but I wanted to do it. And to be totally honest, in a bit of a cynical way, it helps when you're talking to other people. But but yeah, and so I figured that either at the beginning of the summer or at the beginning of the next school year, I was going to like come out publicly on social media and just be out to literally everybody who knows me and never be presenting like as male ever again and just always be presenting as a woman the way I'd like to be. And, you know, after GDC, I kind of realized like, shoot, I'm going to do this at the beginning of the summer. I'm not going to go the whole summer without presenting female. That's going to suck. But so we're almost at the beginning of the summer now. I've got like another 10 days or so until I like don't have anything else in this school semester. So at that point, I will be just coming out on all my social media. And so everybody who's ever friended me on Facebook or followed me on Twitter is going to know, including like all of the people I go to school with who like, who don't know yet, who like aren't super close friends and I haven't told them. And yeah, so it's going to be interesting and exciting. I'm excited to like, you know, reach the point where I never have to dress up as a boy again. That'll be nice. But yeah.
I can't wait to see how the journey continues for you.
Me neither. I think during the last 3 weeks or so in which we were MIA on the podcast, I also sent an email to like the head of the HR department at my summer internship at Concrete Software, basically explaining like, hey, I'm trans, I'm Michaela, she, her, this is how I'm going to look when I get there. And, you know, she reacted quite well. She was like, sounds good. Just so you know, this is absolutely not going to be a problem. And I'm like, great. I am looking forward to coming there this summer.
Yeah. And that's such a nice reassurance to get because, I mean, there's so many horror stories, but there's also like a lot of people that are just like, yeah, great.
Right.
It's good. And I'm glad to have you.
I am fortunate to live in, you know, Minneapolis, a really liberal, really queer friendly city. So,
Yeah, that really helps.
Yes, that definitely helps. I've heard horror stories from trans women who live in the South. I feel my heart goes out to all of them. But
yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm excited. And I figured I should probably, you know, get that email out of the way sooner rather than later so that, you know, people would know what my real name is before they even meet me. So they don't have to like, so they don't even have to have an adjustment period, you know, that would just make it easier.
Right. Because then you just get that immediate, hi, I'm Michaela. Oh, hi, Michaela. Nice to know
you. Right,
and then
right. They don't, they're not like, they don't have to like start like correcting themselves. Like, hi, my, oh, nope. You know?
Yeah. But, yeah, I know there was a bit of an adjustment period for me too, where it was like, right.
Yeah, I know. There is for everybody.
Yep.
But yeah. And so that's why I'm excited to be presenting female full time everywhere so that every new person I'm going to meet is going to know the name I want them to know.
Oh, so, good.
Yeah. But yeah, that's been my 3 weeks. So that's that. It's time for
Ben-a-now.
Dev Thoughts. You can kick it off, Milo.
All right. Shoot. I don't know that I've... I don't know that I've touched development.
I mean, since the last time I talked to you, I think you still had to like finish your semester, right?
Yeah. I mean, like so much of... Hey, this will be my dev thoughts. I'll talk about my grades. So my my goal for DigiPen this semester was just to pass. And a lot of the projects, a lot of your grade for the classes that we're taking this semester are weighted heavily towards the end of the semester because they're massive projects that are like year long or that become increasingly worth more of your grade as the semester continues. So I made arrangements with all of my classes where it's like, okay, what's the bare minimum I have to do to pass your class so that I do not have to hurt myself any further? And we arranged that and figured out what that would be. And so I was like, I was planning to get like D's on projects because I could afford it. And you know, I'd get a bunch of C's, but whatever. I mean, the grades don't matter. I pass my classes, I'm good. And that was the plan. So I skirted by as best I'm able without touching computers. And I started getting in my grades last week, I think. And so they came in and I got 3 A's and 2 B's. And I'm looking at this. I'm like, how is this possible? And I need to take a step back for a moment because let me talk about the three classes where I got A's. So psychology is one of them. And there is a paper that was due that is worth 15% of your entire grade. I didn't turn it in.
So as long as you're going strictly by the book, it would literally be impossible for you to get higher than an 85.
Correct. I also got like high B's and C's on tests. The tests were high B's, quizzes were C's. But I ended up with an A on the... So like I must have done really well in the final, so that helps because that's a big chunk of your grade. But it's like, what? And I'd emailed my teacher like on the day of the test and was like, look, I did the final paper, but then it got corrupt. Oh, I didn't talk about this. I did do the final paper. I was doing it in Audacity vocally, but I saved it and then it got corrupted when I opened it and all the files were silenced. It was just, I had 7 minutes of silence and I didn't have it written down anywhere. So I was like, well, and not turning that one in because it was like Sunday night and my hands were hurting. So I was like, yep, that's it. and I could have redone it, but I was also feeling done with the semester and I knew that I could pass with a C if I didn't turn it in. So I just didn't. But I sent her an email explaining exactly that's what happened and my outline for it, because I did have an outline. It's like, thank you for teaching us. And then I somehow managed to get an A. So that was nice.
Wow, but, that's pretty cool.
I don't know how that happened. then there was English, where I skipped something that was worth 10% of my grade entirely, which was a reflection paper. So, I mean, theoretically, that's an A-, but A-minuses get weighted differently than an A, and I got an A. So I don't know what happened there. I have no idea.
It might just be that a lot of them had like a lot of compassion for your circumstance.
Yes. Yeah. Very true. A lot of compassion. Like my final assignment for the other class that I got an A was to turn in that game project, Rainbow Bobo, which is incomplete. Right. It was stopped a third through production. It does not meet the bare minimum requirements for submission. And I even chatted with my teacher and we decided, okay, you turn in what you have now, you make no changes, you get a 2 out of 5, you pass this class. Life is dandy. It's like, okay, great. And I do it and I got a 5. It's like, So I appreciate it. And also it's like, that's not okay.
Yeah, no, I get why you would have mixed feelings about it. Cause it's like, well, I don't feel like I did the work, but like also thank you.
Yeah. Let's get this straight. I don't mind. It looks great on my record. And I don't know. I mean, honestly, it doesn't really affect anything whatsoever, whether I get an A or a C, but you know, great. I've got a 4.8 GPA, 4.75 GPA or something like, or 3.75.
Wait, is that out of five? Oh, okay.
Three.
Like, wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, they were really compassionate.
Wow. They gave you like, they didn't just give you A's, they gave you S's.
Yes.
At DigiPen, because it's a game school, they go up to S.
I got S++.
Played some Devil May Cry 5 and got like the diabolical ranking or whatever they would do.
Nice. Yeah. Have you played that game at all?
I haven't. I just know like for their combos and stuff, they have all sorts of like, you know, evil sounding like names for their combos. Like diabolical or like malicious or something like that.
That's all I have for Dev Thoughts this week, because I'm probably not going to be doing development during the summer.
And that's perfectly valid. You need a break. So
maybe I'll read a book or something on game development and share my theoretical thoughts on that.
Reading a book? Who would do that?
I don't know. Not me.
I'm not a nerd. What are you talking about?
Right. Four eyes. I'm wearing glasses right now.
I've got my contacts in. I've got invisible eyes aiding me so that they can't call me a nerd.
Yeah, I'll just call you No Eyes.
No Eyes? Is that how it works? Like the contacts cancel it out?
Yep, they're covering up your eyes.
That's fair. Yeah, so for my dev thoughts, I said I'd talk about the animation and planning project, and I will. So for my animation and planning and games class, the final project is this like 3-week timeline project where you have to work with at least one other person and you are encouraged to work with up to 3. And so I have a group of 3 together and I had this idea that the other 2, you know, agreed to, where I wanted to make procedurally generated, guaranteed solvable puzzle levels for games. And I had wanted to do this because like, A, I wanted to mess with procedural generation for forever. And B, I thought it was kind of interesting to like kind of mess with the idea of like procedurally generating, you know, like brain teasers, but like environmental, like, you know, maneuver navigation brain teasers that are guaranteed to be doable, especially. That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And this fits in with the class because as far as like the class is called Animation and Planning in Games. And if you've got like a navigational puzzle room that you've kind of like sort of generated out and you've guaranteed that it's solvable, then you've kind of like, excuse me, inside of your generation algorithm for this level, you kind of have like ensured that a planable route from the beginning of the level to the end of the level does exist. So that's where, you know, the motion planning comes into play. But I've been working on that for like about a week not like super actively. A lot of this week I've just been kind of like hanging out and like, you know, doing some personal life stuff and also just chilling a bit, but in other assignments. But what I've done so far, right, is I've basically made like sort of like a quick and dirty way to generate sort of a graph that represents these rooms. And when I say graph, I don't mean like a sort of like line graph in the sense of like you have like a bunch of points on a graph and then you have a line connecting those points, like you would usually have like in like a business meeting or something. I mean a graph in like a very sort of like theoretical computer science sense, as in like there are so many nodes which are just sort of like which are like analogous to like rooms in a building. They're just points that you can get to. And there are between those nodes edges that connect them. So if there is an edge between two nodes, you can get to one node from the other node and vice versa. And so I'm representing sort of like the levels at a very basic level as a graph, which is a pretty good, you know, like decent way to sort of formulate a plan for a level, at least when you're doing like procedural generation. So how it works is I've got like the beginning node that you start at, I've got the end node that you have to get to, and then it generates anywhere between like one and four extra nodes that go between the beginning node and the end node. And then it connects them all together in a line. And then it goes down like the extra nodes in the middle. And it sort of like rolls like a die to determine if it's going to add in more nodes connected to the node it's looking at right now in the middle of the graph. And when it adds in more nodes, it adds them in what is called a cycle, in that like it adds more nodes that all kind of make a loop-de-loop connecting to the original node that it's looking at. And so when it adds a cycle, it also inside one of the nodes in the cycle puts down a switch. Now the switch is connected to sort of the edge leading from sort of the root node of this cycle to the next critical node on the way to the goal. So like in order to get to the goal, you have to go through that edge to get from the node you're on right now to the next node that'll lead you to the goal. Mm-hmm. But the switch is connected to that edge and the edge starts out locked. When you flip the switch, it opens up the edge, but it also closes off another edge in that cycle, which means that you may have to go through the cycle a different way than the way you went through it. So that's kind of like the very basic of what makes this a puzzle, right? And then you have to go hit switches and then you have to sort of remap your way through to the next part of the level. It's the idea.
Wacky.
Yeah, so far these puzzles are really, really easy, but that was like my basic idea for, okay, this can technically be called a puzzle. But and so I threw that together and, you know, like I said, at every sort of like extra node between the start and the goal, it checks to see if it's going to add a cycle, and then it might add a cycle. And the cycle itself could be anywhere between like three nodes, which is just like a triangle, or like five nodes, or I think six nodes actually, which would be like a hexagon shape. So yeah, that was like the first quick and dirty thing I threw together in a few hours. And I've been working on talking to the group and like seeing what sort of like extra rules we can add to our like graph generation algorithm to make it like make more interesting levels. So the one I was working on before this podcast started and what I'll go back to after this is a rule that adds in sub cycles. So like while you're making a cycle, you could like look at the node that you're on right now and potentially add in another cycle with a whole nother switch connected to that node, so that you would have to like go deeper and deeper into these rooms to sort of find a way to like open up the big whatchamacallit, like the big edge that connects closer to the goal.
I think you should just call it that, the big whatchamacallit.
Yeah, the big whatchamacallit. We're all trying to get to the big whatchamacallit. But So yeah, I've been working on this right now. the sort of next steps, once we have like a sort of graph generation algorithm that we're comfortable with for now, is to kind of work on some other kind of algorithm that will take the graph and make it into an interesting layout of rooms. So like you can kind of imagine the rooms as like sort of each node is just one room in this level. And then an edge that connects two nodes means that's a door between these two rooms. And you could just work it out like that. But so, yeah.
Wicked.
How much of this went over your head?
Well, you describe it in a pretty easy to follow way.
Okay, some good. Because I was worried about that. As a TA, yeah. That's what always worries me, is that I'll just talk over my students' heads.
But... Yeah. No, you did a very good job of explaining it. Of course, I also have some technical background, so that helps.
That does help.
But some of the later stuff is like a little bit more like, not sure how that works.
It does get into like some really like highly theoretical stuff. But I don't know. I think it's... like theory is all well and good, but I love like actually having a chance to apply it, which is why I was like, I want to work on something procedurally generated, because I think that's cool. Like having a computer like generate something that's new every time is so cool. But
and you were saying that you put together the like super rough draft in a day, and I was like, oh god, how do you do that? Because I'm a designer. I was like, the thought of building stuff like that is like,
And see, I'm like almost done with my third year of a computer science degree. So like, I have a very strong technical background at this point, I would say.
Yeah, I'll say.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm excited about this. I even like read some chapters in a book for this. I know I was just like roasting nerds for reading books, but I'm a nerd too. There was one of my friends who's also working on this project with me. He owns a book that's edited by Tanya Short and Tarn Adams. Tanya Short, I think, runs Kitfox Games. They've made like Caves of Cood and like a couple other procedural like games that like heavily feature procedural generation, and they're like they're gonna publish Boyfriend Dungeon. So and I'm sure you've heard of that one. Okay, good. It looks great. I can't wait to play it. But so they're gonna publish that, and then Tarn Adams is one of the two devs on Dwarf Fortress. So these two people like really know their stuff when it comes to procedural generation, and they sort of edited together this book out of like a lot of chapters from other game devs who have like made games that heavily feature procedural generation in some way. And so like there was just a wealth of like really good resources in this book, and I read several chapters from it and found it really fascinating and helpful and cool. So
wicked.
It's called Procedural Generation in Game Design or something like that.
Whoa.
I'll totally like link it in here.
What a snazzy title.
Yeah, no, it just totally catches the eye. At least the cover's kind of snazzy. It has like a bunch of like voxel looking things. So that's cool.
Okay. Procedurally generated voxel things.
Yeah. Slightly reminiscent of like Minecraft.
Yeah. Yep.
So anyway, I think that's plenty of dev thoughts. I know you don't have a lot of time, Milo, so we should probably roll it into...
Ben-a-now!
Gamer thoughts!
Nice.
What you been gaming?
I haven't.
Oh no! You've been watching some anime, right? You mentioned
that. I have, yeah. I'll give like a little sample platter of the things that I've been watching and doing in the realm of games.
Okay.
So anime, recently I finished Gurren Lagann, or Gurren Lagann. I'm not sure how you pronounce it.
I know that's one of Brian's favorite shows. He talks about
really?
It.
Yeah, that's a classic one. And I say classic, but you know, anime, it's relatively new.
Yeah.
But it's pretty good. I liked it a lot. I watched it actually a few months back, and I didn't really get into that, but I watched it again now because my friend has put together a list of 53 anime that I have to watch.
53? 53. That's so many. Yep. Who has time for that?
people who have no hands and have nothing else to do.
You know what? That's actually, you're super valid. Okay.
So I've watched a bunch of them, and Gurren Lagann was one of them. And so I pushed through where I stopped, and I really, really enjoyed it. And some of the things they do with it, I was really impressed with. So really like that one. I also watched, I'm a sucker for romance, like romance movies and romance anime and romance. I totally
get that. You're going to love Boyfriend Dungeon.
Yeah. So I watched one called Toradora, which I started on one day and did not stop until 6 a.m. when I finished it.
Wow.
Yeah, I really loved that one. They really botched the last episode for half of it, but it's fine. They recovered. They finished. But endings are hard, and they just tried to add like one last little twist, and it's like the last episode is not where you do that. Not in the way they do it. It's just don't do that. Just give me another 10 minutes of wrapping up all the storylines. Yay. Because that feels so much better than they tried to take it in one last direction, and it just, they didn't have enough time to make it impactful. They wasted time they could have spent elsewhere. But fine, whatever. They wrapped it up by the end. I'll forgive it. But the rest of it was great. I couldn't stop watching. And then I also watched Your Name. Oh my gosh, Your Name is awesome. This is about two people who swap bodies for at random, as far as they're able to tell. It's a girl and a boy, and as it turns out, they're swapping bodies, but they're also 3 years apart from each other. So she's in the past and he's in the future, and they're body swapping, and it feels like immediate to them, but they're in different timelines. And it's just their journey trying to figure out how to live their lives with that, and trying to figure out who they are, who the other person is. Beautiful, beautiful movie. I really like what it did. Reminds me vaguely of Ghibli stuff, not because of any of the things that make Ghibli Ghibli, but rather because it was an anime with real people characters.
It does sound really interesting.
Yeah, I really liked that one. I think I also watched, I started in on One Punch Man. I'm looking at going into Mob Psycho. There's a bunch of other stuff. I finished some other things too. I'm caught up with JoJo.
Oh, you're fully caught up now.
Fully caught up. Yep.
Are you watching like the new episodes as they come out?
Yep. Yep. I also watched My Neighbor is a Cat, but the Japanese name is so much better. It's like My Neighbor is in my lap and on my head, which I love.
So funny.
Yeah, that one was cute.
It does sound cute.
And then as far as games go, I mean, I haven't been playing anything, but I've been looking at some Overwatch stuff, just trying to brush up on little bits and pieces of strategy that are new to me. And I'm still watching Overwatch League, watching my brother play Overwatch.
I mean, at this point, you know, you'll take your hit where you can get it, right?
Yep, that's right. Yeah, I have to really limit myself when it comes to games, because if I play a certain amount, and I kind of, it changes, because I could have 2 days of a gaming binge and be fine. But, you know, sometimes it's like, more than 2 hours is too much, where it's like life will start to feel kind of ashy and gross, and then I will start to lose interest in stuff, and then like start sliding into game addiction. It's like, yeah. So I gotta watch it and feel how I'm feeling with that one. And that's another thing that I've learned from the tendonitis, which I appreciate.
Yeah, this tendonitis was a gift.
It really was.
Yeah,
it really, really was. Is. I mean, I'm still living it.
Yeah.
But yeah. Those are my little tidbits of what I've been up to.
All right.
How are you?
As far as what I've been up to game-wise, I've played some more Superland. I know I talked about it last time. I mean, I still thoroughly enjoy it. I feel like the last time I played it, it was starting to get to a spot where I felt like it was getting a little bit too big. like map wise to like complete, and like as far as like all the upgrades that I'd seen around to completely parse in my head. And it's interesting because it's like a Metroidvania game, but it doesn't seem to have any kind of like map mechanic, which is kind of like crucial to like most Metroidvania games. Is there some kind of map so that you can sort of keep track of this sort of like massive interconnected world, and especially keep track of like all the secrets you've seen. So I felt like I was trying to like keep too much in my head the last time I played it, which was maybe like a week ago. I'm sure I'll play some more of it soon though, because it is very fun and just very, I love the level design of that game. But but yeah, so there's not a whole lot new to say about that. The last time I was on the podcast, did I talk about like how I was having like PC problems?
I don't think so, but it's also been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, I've been having them for a while, but I didn't like earnestly start pursuing them until like more recently. But I think this is as good a segment as any to talk about it. We've got a few more minutes. But yeah, so I've been having like issues with my PC since I think like maybe like spring 2018. So like about a year. So like I've been having these issues where I'll like start playing any like relatively pretty 3D game, and anywhere between 5 minutes and an hour after I start playing it, it will crash. It will run perfectly until that moment, and then it crashes. And so like it seems like I'm not like overshooting my hardware or anything. Whenever I look at like diagnostics to like see the temperature in like my CPU or my GPU, like it all seems fine. Like it doesn't seem like I'm pushing it, because especially since it runs fine up until the moment it crashes. So and I've just mostly been like ignoring it, and I've just been assuming, well, maybe my settings are too high in this, or maybe this game is just really poorly optimized. I was mostly running into this issue with Subnautica for a while, because that was like the only pretty 3D game I was playing for a while. But then I ran into it when we played Apex, and I ran into it when we played Anthem, and I was like, okay, when it happened in Anthem, I was like, oh, well, it's a beta, it might just not be well optimized. And then it happened in Apex, and I'm like, what the heck? And then it happened when I started playing Supraland, and I'm just like, okay, this is far too much of a coincidence.
You can take Apex from me. You can take Subnautica from me, but you cannot take Supraland from me.
You cannot. Which is unfortunate, because like all the crashes really diminished my enjoyment of Subnautica. I just thought like, wow, I love this game, but I really wish it didn't run like a potato. But it turns out it was just my computer.
Yes, your computer is the potato.
Yeah. And so I went and investigated it. I dug through some error logs on my, it deep in the bowels of my Windows PC. I like Googled all sorts of stuff. And eventually the one thing I tried that worked is I just completely uninstalled like all of my graphics drivers. And then I reinstalled them. And then I played Supraland for like 3 hours, no problem. And I'm like, okay, it probably works now. I mean, I haven't gone back and tried to play like Subnautica or Apex or any other pretty games, but I hope it still works. I might have to keep chasing this dragon some more. We'll have to see. But
I hope not. Chasing dragons is tiring.
Yeah, like they're so fast. They're so fast.
They're so fast.
But
it's actually playing off of your computer woes. I had a computer woe myself today where I set up my computer here at my house. So I now have access to a computer and a more ergonomic setup than my laptop. But my poor monitor in transport is broken.
Oh no, it's the worst.
We turned it on, and from the outside like it looks great, but you turn it on and it's like the screen is all like cracked looking, and there's,
do you have
like
a warranty?
Colors just like freaking out all over the place, and the poor thing.
Do you have a warranty?
No, and also given that it started after moving, we think that it was actual physical damage, which would not be covered by warranty.
Yeah, well, that sucks.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll look into getting a new monitor when I'm back in school and have funds to do that. In the meantime, I don't have work. I can't afford that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So I'm using a 32-inch television in the meantime.
Hey, you know, I feel like that's not the worst.
No,
that's just
not
a really big monitor.
It's really big. It's a little slow for gaming, just like response time wise, but I'm not gaming right now anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and you won't be for a while.
No. So I feel you on your computer woes.
Yeah. I'm glad that we are connected in the woes of technology.
Oh, woe is our technology.
Well, I know you need to get running. Should we head into community?
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, our email address is atale2gamedevs@gmail.com. No spaces, special characters, capital letters, or any kind of doohickeries that would confuse you. It's just all one word, lowercase. Feel free to send any feedback, any questions, any game recommendations, anything like that to our email. We will definitely respond to you happily. And as long as you're cool with it, we would also love to read your email out on the show. And if you're not cool with it, or if you'd like to remain anonymous when we read it out, just say so in the email. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @2gamedevs. We tweet every time a new episode comes out. Well, almost every time. Sometimes I forget. But we tweet almost every time a new episode comes out. And we'll also be tweeting in the far off future when we'll eventually stream video games. And we might even tweet some other time because I'm about to be on summer vacation and I might get bored. So I might just start tweeting. But yeah, I think that's everything, isn't it?
That's it.
All right. Well, this has been A Tale of Two Game Devs, a podcast about two friends who aren't video game industry veterans,
but want to be.
Talk to you next time.